My name is Natalie McIntosh. I am 57 years old. Today is March 21st, 2021, and I'm speaking with my mom, Elaine Mead, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Wayzata, Minnesota. Okay, Mom, let's start with a question about your upbringing. So you had 13 siblings. Tell me about all the things that your mom did to take care of all of those kids when you were younger.
My mother had her first children 1 year apart. And the rest of them were born every 2 years until the last one was 3 years. And she was a hardworking mother, and she did a lot of things by herself. We had several illnesses. I had appendicitis when I was 11 years old, and I woke up in the night and I had this stomach ache, and my father and mother were trying to help me. My father wanted to put something hot on my belly, and my mother wanted to put ice. Well, I trusted my mother, so I decided on the ice, and I wouldn't put the hot on it. 6 o'clock in the morning, I was still hurting, and they took me to the doctor in Elk River at his home, got him up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said I had to go to the hospital, University of Minnesota Hospital in Minneapolis. Well, they didn't drive that far, so my father said, we'll get my cousin in Dayton, and he'll drive us there. And this was Dayton, Minnesota. And we drove there and got them up. And the cousin put me in the back seat and put me on the back to lie down and got me into the Minneapolis hospital. And I was there for a week. I had appendicitis and I was operated on. And my sister, Sylvia, lived nearby, and so that's where they decided to take me, to my sister's. And she took care of me, and I told her I hadn't had a BM the whole time I was there, so she gave me an enema, and I never knew what that was.
I think we're going to edit that part out, Mom.
Yeah, that's okay. Well,
talk to me a little bit about, now you guys had to move a lot, and you at one point told me about like the jobs that your mom would get and what you would do, like working on different farms to make money so she could pay rent.
That was later. That was mm-hmm. later when the family all split apart and we had to move from the farm where we were for so long. My dad lost the farm. He got a paid up farm and he lost it with his drinking. And so the older people moved away at 12 years old and went working with relatives and somewhere else. So there was just a group of us, like six, left at home. And my mother just did all kinds of things for relatives, and the relatives helped take care of us. Trying to think of, can you turn it off for a minute?
Okay, Mom, go on.
My father disappeared. He didn't have a job, and it was just not possible for to live around us. We were on welfare, and we lived on a farm in a little house. And my mother shocked grain for the owner to pay for the rent. That means you put bundles of grain in bunches all over the field. Until it dries out or whatever, till it's ready for the barn. And she took care of children, and she did housework, and you know, I can't remember.
Now, at what point didn't she become like one of the cooks in the local school?
Yeah. She became the chief cook at the Elk River High School, and she was there for many years. And I don't remember whether we went to school there while she was the cook. You know, if it weren't being recorded.
Okay, Mom, go on.
Most of the family members left home at 12 years old. We all did. We went to work for relatives because we didn't have any money to buy clothes unless we earned our own money, because my mother was on welfare and she couldn't take care of six kids. So one by one, we left home and earned our own money, went to school and worked.
So now you had a job where you lived with some family and you did cleaning for them, right?
Mostly I took care of their kids. Mm-hmm. I was very good with children. Neighbors helped us by hiring us to take care of their children and to wash dishes and clean the floors, you know, do housework. And they all felt sorry for us. So I had a nice family. Some of the situations were not good because there were men around, and a young woman was very vulnerable. You had to be really careful, and so that wasn't a great experience.
Okay.
While in high school, a junior in high school, I worked for an older couple. And she decided that I should probably work with somebody who had children. So she referred me to the gal down the street. She was my first grade teacher. And she was very finicky about everything. I sat at the table with them, but usually the hired girl sat in the kitchen. And she needed more bread, and I went into the kitchen and just brought it with my hands. And she said, "Next time, Elaine, take the plate." And she was critical of me in many different ways. I had a date, and I came home at 11 o'clock or something. And she said, that was too late. You should be home earlier than that. The next day, I gave her my notice and I left.
Good for you. So, Mom, when you went on dates, what would your dates take you out to do? Like, what was kind of a typical activity for going on a date? And how old were you when you started dating?
Well, I probably was more in freshman, sophomore year. But I went to boarding school in those 2 years, so I was only around a little until summertime. But the dates were not that common. The farm boys, you know, all thought I was cute, and one of them managed to date me, but I really didn't enjoy them because their efforts were always about wanting sex, and I wasn't interested. And so that took a couple of times, and I sort of lost track, and I didn't date very much. And mostly we went to dances. That was the whole thing. If you went on a date, you danced. But this guy didn't even know how to dance. So we would just go there and listen to the music, and hopefully somebody else would ask me to dance.
That poor fella left sitting on the sidelines. Too bad for him.
Yeah, you're right. Too bad for him.
He should have learned how to dance.
Yeah, he just didn't care. Well, for my interests, there just weren't any fellows around that answered my choices. And so dating was not that much fun at that time.
Okay.
Let's see, let me stop and think about how I get started.
Mom, tell me about starting the business that you started in Rochester. What was its name and how did you get it going?
It was called Martin Career Counseling and Finishing School. I had gone to modeling school in Minneapolis and taken a full-time course in modeling. And I was traveling with this company, and it was just not the sort of thing I wanted. And I called a businessman in Minneapolis, and I said, I didn't want to go back to Minneapolis. What do you have anything to suggest? And he said, well, I have a co-partner in Rochester, Minnesota, who has an employment agency for doctors, and she needs help. So I moved to Rochester from Kentucky, where I was, and met this lady. And it was very difficult trying to place doctors at the Mayo Clinic or wherever. And it turned out that this woman wasn't running an employment agency, she was running a marriage get-together. She was putting people together. So
she was a matchmaker.
Matchmaker. And so I didn't want any part of that, and I decided to just go start my own business. I just found a place to rent, and I knew how to contact all the businesses. I introduced myself with letters and phone calls, and was in the placement business. And so there was a legal office that had a quick turnover, and this attorney continued calling me, can you send somebody else? We just need a lot of help. And it was kind of a slow time for my placement. So I said, well, I'm a good secretary. I can come and help you get caught up. And so that's what I did. I went to the law office. It was the Plunkett Law Office in Rochester, one of the best in the area. And so I took dictation and got them all caught up. And the head attorney, after I was there a couple of weeks, wanted me to come to work for him. They liked my work, and I got everything caught up. And I said, well, I wouldn't get up my business. I wouldn't give up my business, because sometimes you couldn't work for somebody and not have something else. So he didn't care how he got me. And so I did a lot of good work for his law office. Things got really updated, and I did such a good job that one of the attorneys left and went started his own law office. And that was just a very good experience. And I continued I had classes in the evening for modeling, in addition to my working in the law office during the day. And that was very interesting. I had fashion shows at one of the local restaurants, and that was quite unusual. I wore slacks, and that was hardly unknown at the time. And so I started a lot of new things in Rochester, which was a country farm town, actually, along with the Mayo Clinic. But I became known.
Do you remember any young women that went to your classes that you feel like you really helped?
Oh, yes, all of them. All of them. They were so stricken by what the possibilities are about updating yourself and not just accept what your parents tell you to do or what your employer tells you to do. I taught them some kind of independence. And most of them got good jobs. And it was very, very successful. And that's where I met my husband. Some business people wanted us to meet. And so we got together for luncheon, and he liked me so much he wanted to keep coming. And so at that time it was time for me to leave the law office, because the attorney had brought in one of his close friends who pretty much took over running the office, which I had done myself. It was just another male chauvinist kind of thing. Women were in the background and the men could do everything. And so I left and got married. can really tell you a lot about that.
All right. So, Mom, describe what being a woman in the workforce was like compared to how things are today.
Well, for me and other women who worked in the workforce, it was all about men being in charge. Women never got credit for anything. I did so much work for men, and they got all the credit. The one that I worked for, I revised and I revolutionized their work and their offices, and I never was named as getting credit for it. The men always took credit. And that was pretty much universal.
So tell me about like dress codes and things like that. Like what was required of you that would just seem, you know, pretty much illegal today?
I don't know that there were any issues about that when I was working. I don't think it was, you always got dressed up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that there was no comparison between that time and now time. I don't know. It wasn't.
Didn't they tell you you had to wear like heels or shoes of a certain style or something?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
At least not where I worked and not what I did. Mm-hmm. Well, after a while, I got so much work done for them, I could do just about anything I want. And I didn't have that much training. I had good training in at the St. Francis High School where I went to school the first 2 years, and I was good with typing and good with dictation, and I wasn't interested or didn't get involved in financial affairs until I worked for Mr. Crawford. Mm-hmm. That came later.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Crawford ran what company was that?
Minnesota Valley Natural Gas Company.
Mm-hmm. And that became Minnegasco, right?
That eventually became, when he died and the son took over, the son sold it to Minnegasco.
Got it.
And so when I worked for Mr. Crawford, I worked closely with their accounting firm and with their attorneys who trusted me. And they taught me so much, and that's where I learned about finances. And one of the head guys at the accounting firm paid a compliment to me. He said, at least you listen to what we tell you.
Okay, let's try.
You had 13 siblings. Tell me a memory about your favorite one.
My favorite one was Odell. And before my junior year, she called me to come to Tracy, Minnesota, where she lived. She was expecting her second child, and it was summertime. And would I come and help take care of the sibling who was like a year old? And so I went there, and it turned out like that I really wanted to stay. And it was a good experience. I met my first love. he was a Navy. I was taking a walk on the street in Tracy, Minnesota, and this guy kept following me, wanting me to get into his car, and I ignored him. And I walked home, he followed me, and he went across the street where he had friends and asked them who I was. And they told him my name, and he came and knocked on the door. And talked to Odell and said he wanted to take me out. And that's how that romance started. But it ended, you know, after he went back into the Navy, and it wasn't all that great.
All right.
Oh, I should tell more about Odell.
Yeah, tell more about Odell. Yeah. So Odell was a character.
She was a tap dancer, and she was very smart, but was never given any credit for what her smartness was. And she had 10 children, and she could tap dance like crazy, and it was self-taught. And so she was always asked to entertain at any family event that we had. She and I became very close, and we remained good friends forever until she died. And she was very helpful to me, and she made some clothes for me because I didn't have any clothes. And I got a job at the grocery store where her husband worked so that I would have cash, because they couldn't pay me to take care of their kids. And it was just a very good relationship that lasted forever. Her husband was not very stable. He had some heart issues, and they didn't get along that well, and eventually broke up. And so I helped her stabilize and get on welfare until she could get a job, and that all happened. And we just remained friends forever.
Mom, what are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
My goodness, there are so many. I can't. Oh, I had to learn not to trust certain people, and to remain honest. And that fortunately, I was healthy much of my life, so I was able to take care of myself.
Mom, can you tell me about one or as many as you want of your happiest memories?
Well, my happiest memories were going dancing, because that was the absolute favorite pastime of my life. And playing the piano, I taught myself to play the piano when I was young. And when I got out and was working, I took piano lessons so that I could learn what to play the piano with music. And the happiest time that I ever had was when you, Natalie, were born. That was my happiest moment forever.
You're sure about that?
I am sure about that. I am sure about that. And it was, you know, kind of late in life, and your father was concerned that you were going to be disabled or...
Boy, was he in for a surprise.
Yeah, was he in for a surprise. He didn't realize the challenges that he was going to get with you. And but that was absolutely the most favorite part of my life, and it still is.
Mom, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered for being kind and thoughtful about other people, and that I enjoyed laughing. I continue to get compliments about my laughing. Well, we learned how to laugh because when we were growing up, if we didn't laugh, we cried. So that was pretty much a lesson forever. And when our family ever got together, we did a lot of laughing. And that was just to cover up all of our bad bringing up. But it has stayed with me, and I still have somebody complimenting me right here in this building almost every day. I just love your laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do have a distinct laugh, and you do find humor in just about every situation. So I think that's quite a gift, and I feel fortunate that I think you've passed that on to me.
Well, I hope so, because nobody can take that away from you.
Nope, they sure can't. Well, Mom, you've been a very good sport about this interview. Thank you for answering the questions, no matter how awkward it was. I love you, Mom.
I love you too, Natalie. Oh, my God, what an experience.